Well, good evening, folks, and you're welcome here to another Terrace Talk. Donal Barry sitting in with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Now, last week we featured Kerry FC, and many thanks for all the great comments that came in afterwards during the week. There's a real hunger out there amongst Kerry people to see League of Ireland soccer played in Kerry. So we wish them all the best, and hopefully they'll get good news in November with their licence. And sure, you never know, we might have Minnie again for a quick chat. Now, as always, we want to hear your comments on the show, and whether it is on a topic that you were discussing, or maybe something that will start a little bit of a debate, get them into us. Ivan is on the phones tonight, and catch him on 083 300 3300, or you can ring 066 712 3666. Everybody knows those numbers by now, and Keane of course is on desk duties, delighted that there's going to be no match later on, because he'd definitely get home early tonight. Now on tonight's show, it's kind of an unusual show. It's looking back and looking forward, I suppose, in many ways, as we're celebrating kind of the past and the future in football and in rowing. Now, if you're a rowing fan, especially one who remembers the battles of the Seine boats of the late 80s and the mid 90s when the sport was flourishing, you'll remember some of the big names, and indeed one of the biggest names of all times was Calnifersea Rowing Club, and we'll be celebrating 50 years of Calnifersea Rowing Club just after 7 o'clock, so tune in for that or stay with us if you want, but from 7 to 8 it's all rowing. And I'm really looking forward to the front end of the show as well this evening. We're going to have the Leash Strand under 15 county championship winners, which is Tralee District, and we're also going to have the Keane Super Value Minor County Football Champions, which is North Kerry, and they'll be joining us in studio shortly. But before I start tonight, like everyone, I suppose I was devastated by the news of the tragic events that took place on Saturday evening at the Glenbia races, leading of course to the death of 13-year-old Jack de Bromhead. I had met Jack actually just 6 days previously at the Carsveen races, and what a lovely man he was, so full of life and everything. It was just after winning a race, of course, in the old Carron course, and I had a few words with him, and I was really taken about how mature he was. And of course, that we carried that interview last week with his father, Henry de Bromhead. And in that interview, some people will remember there was a line when Henry said his initial reaction to that great win was the relief that he just came home. Well, how heartbreaking it was for the Bromhead family that Jack didn't come home last Saturday night. And I suppose there's no words really in the English language to measure the hurt and the pain and the loss. So maybe this week, say a quick prayer for them, keep them in your thoughts, and maybe give your own Jack de Bromhead a little hug or something. You know, life is precious. And whilst on that, of course, let's remember Jack Tyner and Derry Cullen and John Thomas McNamara, as well as Jack de Bromhead, all, of course, people that fell in pony racing. Now, back to the football. And first up, it's that fine win by Tralee District over Castleisland District, which was played at Austinstack Park last Wednesday evening in the Leash Strand Under-15 Cushion & Oak Championship Final. And I'm delighted to be joined now in studio with their manager, who is Ed Lacey, along with team captain Ben Murphy, who is Austinstack's, Braden Pearce, who when he ran around the corner, just literally ran around the corner, he's Kieran Rahley's, and Conor Dinehy, John Mitchell's as well. First of all, Ed, it's a great occasion to win something, but when you get a little bit of time to reflect on it, not straight away, and come back in again, what are the feelings initially? Surely one of pride.
Yeah, absolutely. The kids worked very hard, I suppose, in the lead up and throughout the championship. First of all, the final, I suppose, was a fantastic advertisement for underage football. The occasion under lights, the fact that the game got delayed, and then the standard of the game was, I've talked to people since, and it was just off the charts for 15-year-old kids. But yeah, immensely proud of the boys. Myself, Morgan and John have worked with the lads since, well, we've been in with Tralee District since January, working with the 14s and the 15s, and they put in a hard work, as I'm sure Castleisland did as well, and it showed there was only a kick of a ball between them at the end.
And that's all there was. It was only a kick of the ball, and it came late enough as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah, a couple of minutes into injury time. Not good for the heart, but it was well worked, really. Castleisland had a kick out, and Alex Toohey won it, got a foul. Gavin Casey played a ball that I was roaring at him not to play, but thankfully he ignored me and hit Cormac Bastable, who won a free, and Ronan Carroll, who's been immense for us and is a serious talent, kicked the winner from nearly 40 yards off his hands, a great free.
It's interesting you use the word a talent, because at this level, every one of those players, those 30 players or maybe 35 players, they're all really talented at the top of their game, and they're getting to play Castleisland District, who are superbly organised, and all the games along the way up as well. It gives you kind of a look into the future of the players that you have on tap. Tralee really have an awful lot of exciting players.
They do, at both 14s and 15s, and I'm sure behind that as well. The standard under 15s in the county just seems to be ridiculous at the moment. We've seen the teams we played, from North Kerry, East Kerry, West Kerry, Kinmare District and Castleline, and every game was a tough battle, and there was just talent everywhere. It does fill you with, you know, great hope for the future after what was a fantastic year for Kerry, seeing these guys come up as well.
Mm-hmm. The games, when people watch them, I suppose we're still at an age group where tactics isn't too much in these games, so there's an awful lot of kind of, I'd imagine, good ball play, good tackling, good scoring, and that's the element that we're watching.
They have to play with freedom, and you have to play attacking football. In terms of tactics, I think the kids probably bring them themselves to the games, do you know, and if you're a coach, they kind of demand a higher standard these days now. They, do you know, they're playing at a high level with districts, with their county teams, with their clubs, do you know, and tactics are filtering into the underage groups, but it's just a balancing act with getting that right, with the freedom to play football.
And it is the freedom. Another thing that interests me, obviously, being a South Kerry man, the South Kerry district, Tralee district, I mean, people say it's club, but amalgamating them at this age group to get to this level, that is a decent and a good thing to do.
Yeah, it was no problem. I think a lot of the guys are playing together with their schools, and they're playing with Kerry development squads, so there was no issue from the start. They actually come together at under 14s for Kerry development trials, so that kind of helps that they're a year early. But there was no issue whatsoever. There's probably a bit of rivalry between the three teams, all right, but no, once they got onto the pitch and onto the training pitch, it was, everyone was kind of focused on the one goal.
Yeah. You'll be able to hold your job now for next year, will you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to talk to Jan Slattery first and see if he's inviting me back.
Well, yeah, I suppose having won the cup, I suppose there's always going to be a lot more interest. Some of the players, of course, we have here, obviously the captain, and Austin Saxmanshire, obviously everything good happens just around the corner there in Rock Street. How excited were you at the last evening when the final whistle came?
I was very excited. It was a good game, and couldn't have asked more from the boys, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's interesting. It's a county final. It's a big game. But Ben, and of course, we're on to Ben Murphy, of course, Austin Sacks. Ben, is it just like any ordinary game? Did you get more nervous the last night because it was a final, or was it just another game down the road for you?
I think it was just another game down the road.
Yeah, and that's probably the right way to approach it. Would you have known any of the boys on the Castle Island district team from playing at under 14 against their clubs?
Yeah, I know a few of them from playing the development squads with them.
Okay, very good. So on the development age group, when you're playing development squads, are you chatting about this championship as well? Are you saying, God, you know, we're WhatsApping you?
Yeah, more of it.
Yeah, we'll see you the next night there in Austin Sack Park. Also, one of the heroes of that team, of course, was Braden Pearce, Kieran Rahley's. Braden, what were your experiences of the final?
Yeah, it was good, to be fair. Like, I mean, a bit nervous at the start, but you know, we pushed through at the end and managed to get the win. Mm-hmm. So exciting.
We'll say the last 5 or 6 minutes it got really exciting, didn't it?
Yeah.
And you get to a stage then where every kind of mistake is going to cost you. Is there more pressure on you then playing a ball, or do you want to win the ball, or are you saying, oh my God, I'll keep out of the way, I'll leave Ben get it, or what is that? How does that work?
Well, like, I mean, it's kind of up to you to kind of step up and give the ball or take a shot to win the game, and so
absolutely, there's a lot of pressure. A man that seems to have no pressure at all, Conor Dean, hey, John Mitchell's, sure it was a walk in the park for you, was it?
Yeah, it was a great night, and just, you know, a night to show all our skills that Eddie has been tossing us all year, and you know, same up in Mitchell's and the development squads with the two lads, just been a great year for us so far.
Yeah, do you see that guy's Austin Stacks and Rallies? He mentioned his club straight away. My God, they're going to build a statue for you anyway. Talking to us about, we'll say, playing with the Mitchell's. I mean, you're playing your under 12, 13, 14, and you move up with your friends, but then you kind of step away. You're still with the club, but you step away for development squads and you meet new players and you get new friends, I'd imagine, or maybe fellas that you were marking for some big battle, and now next thing you're doing a drill with him. What's it like stepping into that development world?
Oh, it's been amazing this year now. You know, like, just meeting lads from nearly every part of the county, like, and they're nearly friends with me forever, to be honest, like, and you know, and off the pitch you'll be having a crack with them, but on the pitch might be a bit of pushing and dragging, like, but that's what you have to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you're learning your craft. That's what you're doing. Braden, family members, did you have the whole front row full of your family, or your neighbours, your friends, your club buddies? Were they all there watching the game?
Yeah, my nan, my granddad, and most of my family went, and a few of my friends went to support me on, so it was good to see them after the game.
Did you get advice from your granddad?
Yeah.
What advice did he give you?
Just to do my best and keep the head up if we're down in the game.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice, isn't it? He didn't tell you to pass it now or kick it straight away, no?
Nah.
No. Good man, good granddad, fair play to you. Again, Ben, you almost took the cup. There's this big, massive cup here this evening. You took the cup, but you gave the speech to somebody else.
Yeah, I did. I gave it to Ryan, the vice captain.
Ryan is good at making speeches.
He is, yeah.
Well, it was a good speech. Would you give it 10 out of 10 or would you give it 6 or 7?
10.
10.
Out of 10.
Fair play. He bailed you out. Ed, I suppose just from talking to him, I suppose, look, at the end of the day, they're not senior players, you know, they're learning, they're on, I suppose, on the second step of the ladder and they're moving up. But how impressed are you with them as young men? I mean, obviously they're in training with you. I mean, they're there because they're a step ahead of people that don't want to be there maybe, and they're training hard and they probably give up an awful lot of their time as well. How impressed are you with these players?
Very impressed. They're phenomenal young men. Like, do you know, as you said, they're only 15 years of age, but they take their sport very serious. You know, it's not just what they do in a training pitch. The boys are foam rolling, doing their preparation, looking after their nutrition at such a young age. You know, and look, they give up a lot for it as well. You know, their friends might have been, I think one or two of them might have ventured down to the bazaar during the festival, even though we told them kind of take a handy. But you know, the lads really kind of kept their preparation well for the games. It's a fantastic achievement by them.
Yeah, absolutely. For you personally, I suppose, like, a county title is a county championship regardless whether it's under 12 or under 10 or senior. The same amount of work goes in. I suppose people kind of think that, oh, Jack O'Connor does something different, but he probably has a little bit more pressure on him, but it's still the same thing. I mean, you get your players, you select your players, there's pressure on putting the best 15 on, there's pressure on putting the right sub in at the right time. Some teams will be stronger than you, and it's a case of moving players around. How did you enjoy the experience?
Loved it. I suppose it was the three of us, really, myself, John Brosnan from John Mitchell's, and Morgan O'Connell from Aston Sex. So, you know, we never made, whether it was in game or before a game, a rash decision. You know, we always talked it through. We'd have met for a coffee and discussed it, and the three of us have a good appetite for the game, so we love it, so it made it a lot easier, really. Yeah.
And recruiting the players for the district, do they kind of pop up themselves, or is there a little bit of kind of, you know, you watch a couple of under 14 games or you're targeting fellas that are coming in? Because obviously you can only put, I suppose, 30 on the panel or whatever you have on the panel. But I mean, the door unfortunately has to close on some players, and that's a very difficult decision too, to make the initial panel selection.
It is. It's difficult enough. Generally you'd have trial games and see, but a lot of the guys, obviously, if they're over in development panels, you kind of know about them. The three coaches are involved at under 15s at this age group, so we know them all from around the county. And look, we got a good mix. We had 8 under 14s on the panel and 2 starting the final, which meant, you know, they're getting the experience for next year, and they'll be pushed on by the under 13s below them as well. So,
a word for the team that didn't win it, Castle Island District. How good were they?
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, look, we knew coming into it that Castle Island were very strong. Every game for us was strong. I think one team, Kinmare District, were missing a good few that night, so we kind of relaxed. Rory Lynch banged in a hat-trick that night, so he enjoyed that night. But Castle Island were phenomenal. Killian Dennehy put on an exhibition in that game, in fairness to him. Very unlucky to be on the losing side. Jack Joy and Martin McGivigan inside the full forward line, great footballers. Rory Brosnan's fantastic footballer. They've quality all over the pitch and off the bench as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely, of course. And names people will associate with their clubs, of course. And I suppose people will say they're so-and-so's son or they're so-and-so's grandson and the whole lot. Braden, the whole experience of getting involved, is this your first year on the team?
Yeah, it would have been. Well, last year we were on the extended panel from the team that lost in the final, so.
Okay. Talk to me about that, maybe, being on the extended panel last year when you probably, your granddad was probably saying, it's okay, wait a year, but you wanted to be on the team. Was that disappointing for you not to be on it last year?
Yeah, it was. I mean, to not make the actual 26-27 for the final, kind of, I was annoyed and stuff, but I knew next year if we had a chance to win it and try and push it for the team for this year.
And you train a little bit harder than this year, knowing that, okay, the door kind of closed on me last year, just got locked out a small bit, but if I try a little bit harder, I can be on that team.
Yeah, I did. I much more attentive to me and kind of pushed the level for myself to push on for the starting team.
Are you back or forward?
Back.
You see a good back there.
He's sticky, all right, to be fair to him.
Is he kind of feel to be pulling your jersey now, or has he got loose elbows?
He's a bit of everything, to be honest. Yeah,
but he's also a good tackler, and that's the most important thing. Connor, your experience of it, I mean, like, you go in, you're from the Mitchells, you play with your friends, now you're playing with, they're still your friends. I mean, are you all going to the one school, or you go to different schools?
Different schools.
Oh, here we go, here's the debate. who are truly CBS?
Hey, Braden.
Just you on your own?
Yeah.
Oh my god, Ben, who are you going?
Mount Hawk.
You're up there.
Mount Hawk myself.
Oh my God, the emerging talent of Mount Hawk. Huh? Do you guys get to play against each other in schools as well?
Yeah, this year now we'll have an under 16 and a half competition, and it'll be exciting, like, you know.
So Braden will have to mark one if not And how will you like that?
It'll be tough, I'd say.
It'll be tough. Yeah. How good are the two boys beside you? How good has Ben?
He's excellent, to be fair. I mean, he's a very good ball winner, and like, though, he's ruthless for the ball. Every time he loses, he tries to get it back.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Conor? Any nice words for the Staxman? You don't have to know. Like, I mean, but no, nobody will hear us.
Nah, yeah, he's very good. Very, he's a very good captain as well. You know, very. He's a good leader, like, and, you know, he just kept us going in the final and all.
He's very quiet, though, isn't he? Ben, tell us how good these two players are.
They're both very good. Now, they're both very sticky as well, defenders.
They'll be chasing around the field,
They would, yeah.
He's not saying much more. You certainly got the Austin Sachs PR. You don't say too much in there, you'll be all right. Talk to me about something else that's unique about the game. We'll say, you're inside the dressing room and the team talks and the team chats and the whole lot. It's a step up, obviously, from your club, Ben. I would imagine the Tralee District. How higher of a level is it?
Yeah, it's a lot higher of a standard playing with all the districts and all the clubs combined. Getting like two or three from every club, and it just the standard goes through the roof.
Yeah. Does it take a while, Braden, to kind of mix in with the boys from the other schools and the boys from the other clubs, or do you kind of mix in fairly quickly?
No, we mix in very quickly now. You know, we kind of bonded very well from the very start, like with the coaches and for ourselves. You know, we had the crack at training and stuff, and that kind of helped us throughout the year.
Are you all over age next year?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh my God, who's going to defend the crown? Huh? You can't just win one, you'll have to win another one. Finally, Ed, I suppose there's a lot of people, I suppose, that behind the work, and you thank the three boys, but I presume there's more people as well that help and put the team together and all that, if you have any of those people there.
Yeah, look, Tralee Gas Supplies have been a long-term sponsor for us, and in this year, Suit Select and O'Connell Pharmacy came in as well. John Slattery obviously has done Trojan work with the town board. Himself and John Rice have been very supportive.
He's a very busy man, John Slattery.
I don't know how he keeps going. Yeah.
I met him. He was doing the Rose Cup and the whole lot, yeah. and he keeps it going. But it's a good age group to keep it going at, isn't it? Because I mean, this is where you're pushing the car off the ramp. Really, this is where all the talent starts, and it goes a long way up. So the future is good for the district of Tralee.
Oh, it's fantastic! Yeah, as I said, just even the underage lads there, David Sargent, Garrod White, the two Brossons, Nick Lacey, Alex Toohey, like, they're all underage again next year. Garrod White is a fantastic talent, kicked a couple of points in the final, kicked 1-2 in the semi final, so really drove us on for such a young lad. So yeah, looking forward to next year now again.
Ben, it's a big cup, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's actually a heavy cup, isn't it?
Yeah, that has a bit of weight to it.
Yeah, you didn't drop it yet.
Not yet, anyways.
And there's only one name. You need to put your name on it fairly quickly. Well, look, congratulations against boys. It's a great win. A great win too, of course, for West Kerry over Mid Kerry in the Shield final. And I suppose congratulations to all, and a big well done to all those, I suppose, who give up their time and train these sides across the whole of Kerry. I mean, all the district teams, really. There's a great future there. And of course, not to forget, I suppose, a word of mention for Billy Lacey. You know who Billy Lacey is, do you?
Fine Mitchell's man.
A very good referee as well. And Mike Morrissey from Kilcommon. They were the two men in the middle of the field. And I suppose in a week where, I suppose, you know, there was an awful lot of stuff shown about referees and the whole lot, and giving respect and the whole lot. It's very important, I suppose, to remember that if we didn't have them in the middle of the field, we wouldn't have no games, and Braden would have no flag blowing with his little whisper and pulling and dragging the whole lot. But listen, guys, we wish you the very best of luck. Your three fine young men. Ed, thanks very much as well. It's a fantastic achievement. We're going to be talking to a few more boys who won, and sure, you never know. These boys are coming in are 17, so we might have you back in 2 years' time. You'd never know.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, Donald Barry, which runs until 8 o'clock this evening, and you were just listening to the Kerry Cushion and Oak 2022 Lee Strand under 15 county final winners. That's some big title. Tralee District, and of course Tralee District, most of them just walk around the corner, so they walked around the corner, and as they were walking, the boys from North Kerry were hopefully driving in and parking their cars, or I don't know, maybe they cycled in as well. But a major breakthrough last week came for North Kerry, particularly their minors, when they saw off Mid Kerry in the county final replay. And of course, we know all about it, because not only did we have the game live, then we had the replay live, and it was like, my God, we know all these fellas. So we decided we'd bring you in this evening to have a chat, and I'm delighted to be joined by Stevie Deanahan from Tarbert, another man who was fairly tough back in the day as well, playing football, and he's brought along Eddie Healy from Listowel, Evan Boyle from Ballyduff, and David Mulville from Tarbert, and I suppose in all fairness, they are three North Kerry clubs, aren't they?
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
North and North,
yeah.
Stevie, first of all, congratulations. I suppose you had that little bit of heartbreak last year as well, you know, going out with the penalties, and you were so close and you were on a thing. Did you know that there was something in this group and this gang and this collection of clubs that something special could happen?
Yeah, I suppose, look, last year was our first year together at, with North Kerry Rangers, and look, the minors were very unlucky last year, going out in the semi-final stage. Our under-15s were equally unlucky, we went out in the semi-final stage as well. But I suppose looking at the group that was at minor and the group that were coming up from under 15s, we could see there was a huge pool of talent there. And I suppose, look, we were lucky enough to harness it this year, and the lads got over the line, you know.
Yeah. The game itself, I suppose any game that goes to a replay, Stevie, you're kind of not too sure about it. You know, sometimes replays don't be classics, you know, they can go one way or the other. For long stages that game, the script was fantastic, really. You know, you were extending your lead, you were staying safe, you pushed ahead. Midway through the second half, though, you were probably asking yourself a few questions, were you?
We were, yeah. And look, I suppose, to be fair, the lads are only 16 or 17 years of age, and, you know, they're in a county final, first time in a county final. So, you know, they performed really well, I think, in the drawing game. We had maybe some hiccups inside there, and we were lucky to get over the line, maybe at one stage where we get the draw. Started really well in the replay, went up 7-1, and probably lost our way maybe midway through the game. But look, they showed real resilience and character, really, and they didn't panic. And it's probably one thing we spoke to the lads about all year, was trusting themselves when they crossed that line, and, you know, they backed themselves and they did the business in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Eddie Healy, Listowel. Was it nice to bring the Frank King Cup back up to Listowel?
Yeah, it felt great.
Yeah. It's a great achievement. I suppose, I'm not too sure where you come from on the successful line of things, but I mean, you're the first group that have been successful, and I mean, that always kind of breaks the door. But when you go into a final like that, you didn't doubt yourselves that you weren't going to win it, were you? Or were you there? Were you excited? Was it nervous? You've been kind of saying to yourselves, you know, we lost out in the penalties last year, we got so close, we're good enough to be in the final. And at any stage, did you think that this isn't beyond us?
Well, like, you're always nervous going into a final playing Nastack Park in front of a big crowd, like, but you're kind of confident in the team, and you're so used to playing, we got used to playing with each other over the weeks, and you're as confident that you can get over the line, and you're good enough, really.
We'd say, coming from the clubs, of course, Listowel, you're stepping into to the North Kerry, I suppose, the flag and the banner, and God, you came strong tonight with your black outfits, and you look professional all the way through it. The All Blacks were young fellas were outside the door. But Eddie, I mean, like, what's it like going from your club structure into kind of a district structure where you're playing with guys that you probably fought fairly hard with at under 14 and 15, and now you're all teammates, and you're actually all teammates now, which is amazing. What's that like?
Well, you're familiar with fellas from Bain, sure, really, all the way up. But yeah, it's just the main thing is trying to get, you know, used to playing together, gelling together, like. And fair, we played a few challenges again, and you kind of adapted fairly quick to it, and that was good.
Yeah, we're also joined, of course, by David Mulville. David, what was your feeling that, you know, when you got in this year, and we'll say, obviously the draw is made, and you come out with a hat, and you have to play one game at a time, the whole lot. Did you think at any one stage we're good enough to be in a final, or did you say, look, we'll just deal with one game at a time, we'll see where we go?
Yeah, it was exciting to see the group and everything. Happy in the group. We had a hard enough group, so it was set our way out for the rest of the championship. Like, we didn't have any easy games.
How did those group games go, actually? Remind us.
Very good. Our toughest one was East Kerry. We beat them by 2 points in the end. They were the toughest one out of the group, anyways, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Of course, they were champions from last year, of course. And I suppose, seeing that you had rubbed shoulders with them from the previous year. Evan Boyle, of course, you're well used to rubbing shoulders all over the place with hurlers and footballs and all that. What was it like for you being involved in this all the way to the end, and the success of that cup being lifted? What was your feelings?
It was a great feeling, right? I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, well, a great feeling, sure. I mean, that's what it is. You don't have to say much more about it. The game itself, Evan, as I said to Stevie, midway through that second half, things seemed to have slowed up. I mean, there wasn't a score for ages. We were listening to it on the radio here. We were kind of tweeting out the scores and whatnot. And there wasn't a score for, I'd say, 10 or 12 minutes. And then...
yeah, a bit of panic.
Then Evan Boyle woke us all up. You decided to kick a point, did you?
I decided to kick a point, yeah. I took a free there at one stage. I thought I was going over and the breeze caught us, but... Oisin Healy as well missed a couple of points too.
Alright, okay. He didn't score enough.
No, no.
Absolutely. Speaks a bit about Oisin Healy. I mean, he had a fantastic game, Stevie. I mean, 1-8 in the county final. I mean, that's massive stuff. And of course, the goal to finish it, you know, maybe things slow down a small bit as well, midway through. But I mean, you're surrounded by massive talent, and different players at different times in this championship just seem to appear out of nowhere and perform.
Yeah, look, Oisin had a great final or replay. Look, and he got some good scores. But look, I think the lads have even said here, look, he's in the finish. He finishes off, I think, all the hard work that's done out the field, right? And you know, he'd be the first to say it himself, right? He's got great support from the guys out the field, right? Good talent, Oisin, and a great character as well to have around the place. You know, in the different games, different lads have stepped up. We started with Ratmore back, at the start of this, and from every game in the group stage and into the replay as well. Look, different guys have stepped up, and like throughout the championship, we had a panel of 33 or 4 players, 29 players saw game time. So, and that we needed that depth in panel, because you know between injuries and different guys stepping up in training, it was really brilliant to see the numbers of players putting up their hand for starting positions and coming on in games as well, so it was really a squad effort, really.
Yeah. And of course the squad is one thing, but obviously there's a team and there's the management structure. Who are some of the names? Brian of course is travelling tonight, of course he's skived off and he left you to do all the hard work, of course. Probably the same all the way through the championship, was it?
Well, it's more or less the same. Yeah.
You carried
the hard work.
Who else was with you?
Yeah, so Brian, the manager, right, and myself, John O'Mahony from Ballydunahoo, selector as well. You've John Dillon, came in as coach as well with us, and he was with us last year as well, great coach. And you've Conor O'Neill from Listowel, S&C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Confidence, is it?
Confidence, yeah.
That's
yeah,
right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know Conor, yeah, very well, very good trainer, actually. So you put your kind of back room together. You kind of know what's out there, because obviously North Kerry, as big as it is, they're still not very big. You still know everybody. What's it like putting that panel together then? Because I mean, there's a lot of talent out there.
There is, yeah. Like I said, we had the guys at under 15s last year, so we knew what we had coming. The lads were moving up to minors. We brought about 15 of those guys into the panel this year, and we had the older guys then from last year's minor team filled out the panel. So we had a good idea of what was out there. But look, I think the lads said it here, we had a number of trial games early on to try and whittle down those numbers down to the panel. Really competitive trial games, and you know, you'd love to bring everyone on the panel, but look, you have to set it to the 30-33. Along with that, look, Brian, John Mahoney, myself, we're all involved at underage level in our clubs as well, so we've a fair idea of the talent at club level as well in North Kerry. So, you know, when we're going into that situation, you've a fair idea of the players there anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing, like you're watching them, you're probably training them at under 10 or 11. I mean, 3 or 4 years and they're nearly this level already, and 2 more, they're 17. Time flies. I suppose did time really fly for you, David Mulvihill, we'll say, in the first game that ended in a draw? I mean, mid-Kerry really put it to you, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a few sleepless nights after, like, kind of thinking about the next game and thinking what I could do better in the replay final and all that, like, yeah.
That's interesting that you say that, a few sleepless nights. Do you as a player go home and analyse everything you've done and you say, oh, if I only blocked that, or if I only maybe fouled him, or if I maybe ran that 2 yards extra up the field, I might have got that pass, especially in a game that ends in a draw, because every kind of thing that you could or couldn't have done could have won that game for you. Do you overthink it that way?
Yeah, I think every player kind of does, like, they always kind of put it all down themselves, like, they kind of always do that, yeah.
And how did you assess your own performance that day?
I thought I played way better in the replay final than the first final, I thought, anyways, definitely, yeah.
Okay. So you had no sleepless nights last week, so no?
Well...
for other reasons. Evan Boyle, you don't have any sleepless nights, do you?
I'd have plenty of them, yeah.
Would you? Good stuff. The Frank King Cup, did any of you know who Frank King was?
No, not really.
It's a trick question, really. Yeah, absolutely. Poor Frank King. Frank King, of course, was the county board chairman in Kerry for 9 years. And of course, he's an Austin sex man as well. But you'll enjoy this next stat. He actually won 2 senior county hurling titles with...
Ballyduff.
Yeah, they were given out for free, I'd say, back in the 50s. But he has 2. It speaks about the hurling side of things as well, because you're obviously a talented hurler as well. Where do you get the time to fit it all in? Or I'm not going to ask you to pick which one you like more, but this team with this group of players, this journey was good.
Yeah, it was a great journey. Like, trying to fit hurling and football in is tough. You need to push aside one for a couple of weeks and then go off playing hurling and again the next week.
Is that hard on you, kind of pushing something aside? Because obviously you have the same love and talent for both. But it's only a couple of weeks, obviously, while you're in this bubble. But you know, dual players, there's a stress on you.
There is, yeah. Like, as a young person, you love to be playing as many sports as you want. Like, but you obviously can't. You'll wear your body out and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, the awareness of knowing how far you can push yourself, and it's good. Eddie, are you a hurler?
No. He thinks he is, isn't it?
No hurling in Listowel.
No.
Dear God. The whole journey for you, Eddie. I mean, like, tell us where you came from. Obviously, you were with Listowel. I mean, when you were playing with Listowel at under 12s, did you kind of say, God, I could win a county minor someday? Or was it just, you know, we're just playing Douai tonight, lads, and we're going back the road to play Tarbert on Wednesday, and that's it?
Well, you don't really think that far ahead, you know, when you're under 12s, but like, it's just when you get the chance, you kind of just try and grab it and take it. Like,
when did you get the chance? Can you remember was it a phone call, or was it something that said, listen, go down there for trials tonight? Or
it's an email, I think, and you just go into the gym and yeah, that's it, really.
And you go away, you train mad.
Yeah.
We'll say, talking about training and everything, and even the other boys at under 15 were saying, you know, that they have their training and they do their gym and they do their I suppose different kind of stuff that they're eating and not eating, and you kind of behave a little bit better. Do you still get enjoyment out of it, Eddie, even doing all what a lot of people are saying tonight? Oh my God, some guy inside in the gym and he's only 17 years old. But you really need to do it, and you really need to look after your body, and you really need to understand how your body works to perform.
Yeah, you do. Some people think, you know, you shouldn't be going to the gym until you're 18, 19, but I think getting there as early as possible, knowing what you can do and knowing what you're capable of, is the best thing you can do, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course, Stevie, I suppose, even from the management side of you, while it's all about kind of getting to the line and winning it, you're developing players as well, kind of unknown to yourself. You're putting them on the right path. You're kind of encouraging them to do all the right things. And I suppose the other side of it is that you probably, when you go back to Tarbert, the last thing you want to see is Evan Boyle coming at you, because, you know, while you are teammates now, you won't always be teammates in North Kerry.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We try and do a little bit, but not too much with them. But look, the lads are brilliant. Look, and they're you know, at the top of their sport. You know, we're lucky in one sense. We as a management team with North Carolina Rangers, you know, the work that's done by the coaches at club level, by the GDA in North Kerry, like, they've done tremendous amount of work over the last 8-10 years of these guys' careers, you know. Mm-hmm. And we just put it all together maybe in the last 2-3% for the last 10 or 12 weeks, really, like, you know. So it's the work these guys are doing themselves. They apply themselves really, really well to their sport. They're dedicated to their sport, and they got their just reward last Monday night, you know.
And the other thing, of course, from South Kerry hat, can't take it off on this one. I'm a district boy, lads. I'm all districts. Talk to me about the clubs. There's this eater out there that there's 34,000 clubs in North Kerry and you have 900,000 players and the whole lot. But the reality is they're very, very small clubs, first of all. Most of them are probably combined at 12 and 14 where they were all thing. But the amalgamation, has this project worked? This is a very positive start to it.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, right? There's 11 clubs we can pick from in North Kerry, but we only have 7 minor teams in North Kerry, and many of the minor teams are playing 13-a-side. I went to a game early on there when we were watching the lads playing, and it was an 11-a-side game between 2 North Kerry teams. So look, the project is working, but I suppose it's a good point. We've only 7 minor teams, and look, other districts are the same. I know it's a challenge. You know, the rural clubs in Ireland and in Kerry particularly, we're struggling with numbers, but you know, we're the same in North Kerry. And look, we've, like I said, the work that's done within 7 teams by their coaches all the way up through the age groups, and again with the help of the GDAs, you know, we're bearing the fruits of that there now in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, you're showcasing, I suppose, the most talented in a sense that you're opening a door for the next group to come along as well and maybe train a little bit harder and see the pathway.
Absolutely. And I think the lads that see it there, even we're training over the last number of weeks, the amount of kids that are coming watching the boys training here, like, you know, they're idols for the kids in North Kerry now after what's happened in the last few weeks, you know. And you know, in fairness to the boys, they've represented the district really well, and their clubs and their families, so fair play to them, you know.
Absolutely. Evan, are you the most famous boy around at the moment, are you?
I'd like to think I am, innit?
Were you signing autographs and doing selfies?
Oh, loads of them, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, once you're doing the selfies, you're moving up. Talk to me about Tarbert, small club way up there at the top of, next stop, Clare. What's it like? How many minors have you with your own club, for instance? I mean, is it a small group of players you have?
Tiny, tiny group. We only have about 15 players at the moment. We have, there's only about 6 actual minors on the team. And most of it's made up of younger age group, like the under-15s. We have 3 players from the under-15s, and the rest of them are.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is that? I mean, like, I understand where that is coming from. I mean, from a small rural club, literally everything that can play must play, and any 2 that are missing, you're down, and you are dragging players up. But from a guy who is, we'll say, a minor, and you're playing with a guy who's maybe 2 years younger than you, is there more responsibility on you in that game to kind of up your game because the club means so much, or are you at the stakes like, oh my God, we're not going to win because we've only got little creators on the field with us and we can't? How do you feel there?
No, I've full faith in the players that play with us. The players that are coming up, they're all very good. Like, they're play with the under-15s as well, and they'll be, one of them will be starting next year for the 17s. Like, they're very good. Like, they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Listowel, numbers wise, fine big field anyway.
Yeah, well, numbers have kind of come down. You know, when it kind of gets to minor, the numbers kind of come down. Like, we do have a few younger fellas playing with us that we need for the numbers. But yeah, it was like, hopefully they can come up in the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, you have loads of teams out in Ballyduff.
We have plenty, sure. Like, plenty. Football and Causey and all them be coming to us as well. So there's plenty numbers for Ballyduff. Yeah.
Dear God. The Causeway fellas be coming in to play with you, they do?
Yeah, they do. They like the colours of the jersey.
They do, yeah. Just the football, though.
Yeah.
They stay on the other side for the hurling.
For the hurling, yeah.
Yeah. Finally, of course, we'll wrap up, I suppose, on this. They're all very proud clubmen as well, Stevie, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I mean, you know, I think you've started that. You know, they play with their club first, and what they deliver for their club and the pride they have in their own club, you know, that translates then into what they do for their division. I don't think you can have one or the other. I think when you take to the field, and the lads show that when they take to the field for their club, they give absolutely everything, and when they take to the field for their district, they do the same. So, you know,
Evan, I presume you've been in Ossinbark Park an awful lot of times with big crowds watching all the family playing and the hurling, the whole lot. What was it like for you to be in Ossinbark Park on the last 2 under lights, big crowds, all the moaning and the groaning if the ref got it right or gone wrong, or the wide ball, or so if they should have kicked the free and he didn't kick it, and you hear all that noise from the crowd, what kind of energy does that give you?
It's a great buzz. Like, for the run of being there looking into the crowd and it was all packed, you just be thinking when you were young boy looking at your uncles playing, say you just love to be playing there when you were younger, like, and you're doing it.
And for the 2 people that don't know who your uncles are, who would they be by any chance?
Well, I'd have a couple of uncles now. I'd have Mikey and Podge, and then Guinness back in the day, Aidan, Colin Boyle, my father Liam. They all kind of represent the Kerry and at some stage.
And are you aware of that? I mean, obviously it's a tight circle. You obviously, the answer is you are aware of it, but are you aware how important they are in your life as kind of role models or idols, or do they sit around breakfast table and say, oh, Mikey lost that for us, or if Podge done that, or do you be very harsh on yourselves?
Oh yeah, we'd be very harsh. No, we'd set our standards high, like.
Would you?
Yeah, we would, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, they still have high standards as well. You're going to have plenty of good nights with the Frank King, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is going to win the North Kerry Minor Championship?
Belly Duff.
Evan has Belly Duff down straight away. He's not mixing it. How are you set for it, Listowel?
Set to win it, really. Set, have eyes on winning it.
Is that just the Tony talk now, like, or are you really doing it?
No, we want to do it anyway. It's a big, big thing, like, in Knock Area, Knock Championship. If you minor, definitely, if you win that, like, you know, it's just great feeling.
Yeah. How about Tarbert? with all the 12-year-olds you have on the team.
I don't think we have a chance this year, but next year definitely we'll win it next year.
But it's good to play in it, isn't it? I mean, it's probably the most important championship outside of winning a county one. Is the one where you get a chance to play your neighbours down the road, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, school wise, guys, we asked the other boys. North Kerry schools. Where are you in school?
I go to Tarbert Comprehensive School.
What's the football like there? Obviously, the numbers impact on it, but obviously you're in Munster and you play a couple of Munster games, do you?
Yeah, it's not too bad. We have good trainers in there anyway, and we've good players that'll play for the school, like, and they'll try their best anyways.
Mm, and that's all you need, trying your best. The Stoll, where is the school there?
St. Michael's College.
Oh God, is Mr. Hassan still out there?
He is.
Yeah, is he still training you?
Yeah.
You have a lot of good football men out there actually training you, have you?
Yeah, Mr. Mulville as well.
Yeah.
Johnny, he's big into football, he loves it.
I'd say he would absolutely milk every moment of bringing the ranking. I suppose he'll never leave that school, will it?
Probably not.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great man for North Kerry down the years. School wise?
Causeway.
Sure, you only hurl there, do you?
We do, yeah.
Do you do a bit of football?
We do, yeah. We have a good football. We have a good football history as well. They won a couple of cups back in the day.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have one big cup here today that you can bring with you. Stevie, finally, I mean, this is fantastic, obviously, for North Kerry. I mean, like, the headlines, the news, the whole lot. But in many ways, is it just a journey? Because people are going to be looking at the Senior County Championship in a couple of weeks, and they're going to see a left and a right North Kerry team as well, and they're going to look at results, and they're going to analyse things. Could this possibly be the route? Not saying that to put any pressure on you, but this certainly will give a bit of wind in the sails for the argument.
I think it does. Look, I suppose that's for others maybe to decide what way the Senior County Championship goes, but for sure at juvenile level, at 15s, 17s and the under 20s, we have to mention them, they were very, very unlucky this year as well. Some great work done by John O'Connell and his team with the under 20s. I think at juvenile level it's a really, really successful story. We need to probably drive on a little bit more, and we've heard that actually over the last week as well, great success, and can we look forward to the next couple of years and try and replicate it again?
And we'll say from the clubs, I mean, all the clubs have a part to play in this success as well. I mean, it's like Kerry winning the All-Ireland. Drummond will be delighted because Graham Sullivan's on the team, and Dingle will have their couple on the team. It's the same concept. You have your belly duffs and your whole lot. What have you been hearing from the clubs about the success?
It's been brilliant. Look, even going back to last year, but particularly over the last few weeks when we got into the final and definitely for the replay, and since the win last Monday night, anyone you meet around North Kerry and Tarbert, Myvan, Dwab, Elliot and Ahula Stoll, everyone you meet, young and old, they're absolutely delighted with it. It's a great journey. The supporters were on that journey with us, so the players, they were aware of it, but it never got to them really, but they had huge support at every game, and particularly when we got to the final and semi-final. I met people that came from Cork and Limerick and Dublin back down to Tralee on Monday night to watch North Kerry play in a county final and to win it. And those people, they mightn't live in North Kerry, but they had huge pride in what happened in the last number of weeks. And we were delighted maybe to give them something, the supporters, the coaches, the parents and all the players at club level back in North Kerry, something to be proud of,
He's a good speaker, isn't he?
Very good.
Is he like that in his dressing room?
He's like that. Not as quite, though.
Not as quite, yeah. He's a bit louder. Well, look, Stevie Dean from Tarbert, congratulations. And, of course, to all the North Kerry Rangers. Eddie Healy, he's going to be holding the cup or bringing it around the stool for a while. Evan Boyle's going back hurling as soon as this interview is over, I'd imagine. And David Mulville is taking all his 13-year-olds and getting ready for the first round of the North Kerry Championship, because that's what matters. Guys, it was fantastic to have you on this evening, and congratulations once more. And sure, you never know, you might be back next year. Might be two in a row.
Thanks very much.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, hi, Dawn. Congratulations to Tralee District and North Kerry on their wins. Great to hear. There is some young, fine talent coming through, and there certainly is. My heart goes out to the Bromhead family, and they're in my thoughts and prayers. Jack the Bromhead, RIP. That's Charles. Yeah, absolutely, Charles. Fair play to you. I wouldn't doubt you. Very genuine text there. Huge step in the right direction for North Kerry football. Delighted for the lads from Listowel, and this gives more young people in North Kerry of the county a chance to prove themselves at the top level of the sport. And that's a Listowel listener. Of course, that was our last North Kerry gang. The young men from North and Mid Kerry should be extremely proud of themselves. An emphatic draw followed by extra time and into the replay. Superb football for such young lads. Fantastic to see. And Kerry football is on the rise. Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Donal. Looking forward to the start of the county championship next weekend. Can I just say it's a fantastic idea by the county board to have the game at 8 o'clock on Friday evening, the Tralee Derby, of course, which still gives us time to get home from work, to grab the kids from school and have dinner before we head down. Gives Dad another chance to get in across the game to the weekend, of course. Our Friday nights used to be sitting on the couch looking at the TV. Now we get out as a family to watch our club. Well done, Kerry G. And of course, it is a very a good text, actually. Friday night lights games. If we have the lights, why not utilise them? And of course, look, it's a town derby, of course. And it's a good one. It's the first one as well. Great to hear such positive young men on Terrace Talk this evening. Great advocates for their family and friends in such a tough week for young lives. This has been very refreshing. Thank you very much, caller. And that's what we were hoping to bring you. It was a tough week. And you have to say that, you know, all the young fellas that we've had in here this evening, great ambassadors, great speakers, great talents, and hopefully we'll be following all their roads to victory all the way down. Now, yesterday saw Parnells of London win the Intermediate Football Championship final in the end. It was a runaway victory over Gary Owen, which gave them their first win of this grade since 1991. And they now go on to play Senior Championship football next year. And of course, there is Tralee man. I'll be shot. A North Kerry man in charge, Tony Griffin. Tony, first of all, congratulations. You must still be celebrating. It's a huge achievement considering that you haven't won it since 91.
And listen, Donald, thanks very much. It's great to be on the radio. We went down from senior in 99. So we've had a few years of bad years, but yesterday it picked us up. We're on the way back, I suppose. It's the start of something big, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's a strong Kerry feel to the team, maybe not all over the pitch, but certainly in the background and through the clubs. You might let the listeners know who's out there waving the green and gold flag with you, Tony.
Well, I suppose I'm from Ballydun originally myself. We have John O'Sullivan from Scatterglen. He's helped me all along. He was there when our minor club started off. We have our chairman, Dennis Dickens, his dad is originally from Ballyduff, and our secretary, Irene O'Connor, her father-in-law was John O'Connor. He was a part of the kingdom when he formed the kingdom. And then we have Lawrence at centre back. Lawrence Bastable from Mitchell's, a stronghold, a mighty player. And then we have a couple of boys from the stall, Jamie Barry and Conor Costler. So,
yeah, absolutely. Look,
we're pretty much homegrown, but the boys are very much part of it, and very experienced, and they bring the boys along.
Yeah, speak to us about the homegrown bit, Tony. I mean, it must be hard to kind of grow players that don't have kind of that GA heritage in them, but obviously you're doing great work out there, kind of bringing them up, bringing them along, and I mean you're getting ready for senior football with them.
You know what, it's quite the opposite, I'll be honest. These boys are drilled. I've had six or seven of them since they were 4 years of age, 5 years of age, and then there was a few boys a couple of years older, and I took charge of them at 16. But look, these boys are, they can play football. We had Tomás O'Shea train him a few years ago, and he was blown away with our skills, with everything like that. So just because we're living in London and we're not Irish connection, the boys are well capable. They're very good players, and they're drilled the same way. We're quite lucky to what we have.
That's absolutely. And of course, explain to us about the training, because obviously you're not all living around the one field. I mean, it takes a bit of time to get the training, I'd imagine, over in London, does it?
Well, we're because of the homegrown, we're quite simple. It's quite easy.
Okay.
We're based in Harrow, and all the boys, like I said, they've came through the underage. So we have, everyone is 10, 15 minutes of where we train. Yeah, look, Lawrence travels a bit. He's living down in Wandsworth, and we have Donald Hannon, the Cork player. He travels a bit. But being honest, 90% of the boys are homegrown, and it's just, we're a parish. I'll be straight with you. We're a parish. Mm-hmm. Within London, it's a small thing to say, but we're a parish, and all our boys are 5-6 miles away, so you can travel quite easily. So that's a massive advantage for what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you're moving up to the senior standard, and I suppose I was always told that when you're good and ready, you'll win the intermediate. And I suppose you're good and ready now, and you had a very successful campaign. I mean, the final was kind of, I suppose, maybe one-sided in one sense, but you fought a lot to get there. How ready are you for senior?
Listen, We'll worry about that in March, probably. We are where we are. Look, the boys, like I said, they're young. Our average age is 23. We'll build on it. We know the likes of St. Kieran's, Fulham Irish are that step above everyone else. There's no question about that. But I think if we go into senior tomorrow morning, I think teams would fear us more than us fearing them. We've got hard work to do over the winter months. We've got a brilliant physio. He will work on the boys in strength and conditioning for the 6 months that we're off. Look, we'll enjoy today and we'll see how it goes after that.
This is a very North Kerry answer. We'll worry about that when it comes, is it?
Well, it is. Look, like I said, 3 years ago we were rock bottom. We were rock bottom. I think we fielded four games all year and we knew where we had to go. We had to go back to our roots. That's it. We had to go back to the English born. I've been involved with them for 15, 16 years. I knew what was coming through. I believed in the boys. I thought, but it was just a matter of time. I think COVID probably put a stop to us that we couldn't push on the way we wanted to push on. But we are where we are. And look, like I said, we'll enjoy today. We set our targets at the start of the year. One of them was to win the Intermediate Championship, and we'll push on next February or March. Whatever is put in front of us, we'll give it a go.
Fair play to you, Tony. Give it a go, and that's all you can do. Listen, Tony, thanks very much for joining us this evening. We're heading towards news. It's a fantastic story, particularly with all the Kerry people involved. And I like the way that you say we're just a parish, which is amazing, with all the homegrown players. And, of course, all that is the hard work, of course, like you said, bringing them up from 4 and 5 and 6. Tony, thanks very much for joining us this evening. And of course, that
thank
was
you, Don.
Not at all. That was Tony.
Just one thing, though. Oh. We're not going to refuse anybody that wants to come from Kerry.
All right. Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah. Right. If they want to come, my number is there. They're more than welcome. Brendan and Mark are well known and in the circle. So
good
just
stuff.
Get in contact with them.
Good stuff.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, what do you know about rowing? Well, I suppose it's a boat anyway, of course, and I suppose this is the weather first with plenty of rain and the whole lot coming down on top of us. But we're going to take you back because we're going to be discussing all things Calnafirthy Rowing Club. 50 years of rowing. That's what they said they call it. I took a step back last week and I headed back to I suppose, preliminary investigate where Calnafirthy was. And since I was last in Calnafirthy, you've got a new road going down to you as well. I nearly missed it. Things have really improved. But I'm delighted to be joined in studio to start off the segment. John Joe Sullivan, who I suppose when I knew him he was just Calnafirthy, but now he's nearly the godfather of Calnafirthy, he's certainly growing his own crew anyway inside the room inside here anyway. You have more Sullivans than ever, and of course you're joined with another O'Sullivan, JP O'Sullivan, who I know very well, great football man as well. But this is all about rowing, guys, and I might start with you, JP. The history and the background of Calnafirthy, first of all, tell people where it is, because we know where it is, but
yeah,
where is it?
Calnafirthy Rowing Club is situated right on the River Lone. It's across the way from Ballycasan Pier, about a half a mile north of Ballycasan Pier. And rowing in Calnafirthy, the history of rowing goes back to pre-famine times. It can be traced back to, in the early 1900s, there were regattas held at the Down Bridge, and you had boats from Calnafirthy, Steel Roo, Garran and Cremorne competing. Those boats were the boats that were used by the draft-knit summer fishermen in those four areas. And you had the name of the Calnafirthy boat at that time, the first boat was the Blackbird, and the name of the Steel Roo boat was the Lone Rangers. You had two-man race, five-man race, and seven-man races. And the regattas were held at the end of the salmon fishing season at the Lone Bridge and also in Cremorne. Back then, the Cremorne regatta took place on the 15th of August, the holy day, the traditional day for it, and whatever day of the week fell, that's the day the regatta took place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's guess to say that it goes back to pre-famine times. I mean, we're talking 50 years of having a club, but
yeah.
Rowing, people were rowing up and down the lone, beating each other.
It all started, of course, with the tradition of the salmon fishing, because that the area, all around the area there, there's all tradition of salmon fishing, like, and that's where the rowing started, really, because going back then, it was probably exclusively the people that were in the salmon industry that were rowing in the regattas as well.
Yeah, just fishermen only. no other rowers. John Joe, I mean, speak to us about forming this club. I mean, Calnafirthy, we're going to move from the famine fairly quickly. It wasn't great, and we're back up now to probably the 70s. Where was the genesis for a club, and where did the boat come out of?
First of all, I suppose the first couple of years we rowed with Upper Cremorne. and there was one day back in Dingle anyway, and we went back. There was a gather of maybe two or three different areas, and we were informed by the man that was over it that our services weren't required anymore. So that was the four of us.
We got our red card.
Yeah. So the following regatta anyway, behind in Port McGee, myself and James A. Murphy, he's up in Leitrim now, and we had the penny in our pocket. We see Johnny Manny, and Johnny Manny was after building the boat for Cremorne and Carsevine. So we plucked up the courage in there, and we went up and we asked him, no, he'd build a boat for us. And he said he would. We asked him, how much was it? How much would it be? He said, £350. So we had nothing in our pocket, so we came home, and we sat into the car, and we collected from house to house, and for all mid-carriers, you know, and with a raffle as well. And we came, when Johnny Manny had the boat built anyway, we had the money. Yeah. So he built three boats that year. So seeing that we asked him first, he was an honourable man, so he built our boat first.
Yeah.
He built Port McGee and he built one for Valencia. Yeah. And we said, Johnny Manny, seeing that he done that, so we called the boat after Johnny Manny.
Yeah. Tis a brave call naming a boat after a South Kerry man above mid-Kerry, wasn't it?
Well, he appreciated it anyway, because his brother, Jerome, you know, he done a good bit of coxing for us, but our first race anyway with the boat was behind the Dingle. I think it was Charlie Holly that fired the shot the same day. It was our first day out. Yeah. And we didn't do very well. Cremorne was flying at the time, you know what I mean, in Carsevine, but we didn't do very well anyway. And Johnny Manny came up to me after the race and he said, your oars are too heavy. And anyway, I went home anyway, and we got the planer and I lightened the oars and we went back to Valencia, I suppose the following week. And we were missing two. I don't know why were we missing the two. Maybe they were playing football or something. So we had to put in the cox. Seamus, we had to put in the cox and put in Mick Fleming. There was cox and the one in Dingle. And we had to put him in and someone else was on the ground. We had no cox then, so we had to go around looking for a cox, and Johnny Keaton was the man that went into the back of the boat. And we went out in here, we thought we were going nowhere, but when we came to the bay, it was Cremorne and Carsevine. The three boats came to the bay and we got around the bay before them. And we came down along the course anyway, I think maybe I lightened one of the oars too much, the top of the oar broke in the stroke oar. But we managed anyway. We finished the race and we got first, and that was the first year that the Murphy Trophy was sponsored by Murphy's. Yes. In England, that we were the first to win it.
Yeah.
So that was our first outing.
You took everything South Kerry had and took it away.
We took I think there were 10 boats out there, but the following year then we won two in a row in Valencia, and the following year then there was 13 boats there. It was Johnny Reedy that was in charge, and he was a great man for rowing, you know what I mean?
Like, Lynch,
so, yeah, there were 13 boats the following year, and we won that race as well. We won a few more, but there were a lot of good crews there that time. Port McGee, there's a very strong crew, and Valencia, and always Carsevine,
mm-hmm.
And Sneem, and Cremorne was really flying that time, but we won a good few races along the line, then, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
JP, you were in that boat, the first win with Johnny Keating taking you down the river the right way or up the river the right way. What was it like to win it? I mean, in putting it into context, I suppose, it was very much a South Kerry sport. Cremorne had been up there as well, kind of mixing it. But you were certainly new kids on the block.
Yeah, our rowing was probably different, like, because we never had rowed in a sand boat up to that point. Like, but, you know, going back to that, like, the second year we won in Valencia, there were 13 boats in the race, 169 people involved in one race. Absolutely unbelievable, like, the tension at the start waiting for the shot, like, you could cut it, really. And as you know yourself, you know a good bit of broad rowing, timing is most important. So I tried to get fellas to steady down and stay timing and get into rhythm and keep that rhythm,
mm-hmm.
for the whole race. That was it, like.
And you need all 6 hours to go at the right time,
exactly,
with the shot,
otherwise
what's the start like? I mean, people, you've kind of set the scene, 13 boats, I mean, there's 12 people plus a cox in a boat, there's two to an oar, I mean, it's fearsome, it's not just your little stroll down the river. The first 30 seconds getting away.
Well, I say every boat have their own way of starting races, like. We had a different way, like, and I don't think we'll tell anyone what we had, because
you're an engine.
It might come back into force again. But we always got a great start, and that was really won a lot of the races for us when we went on to win the 18 races later on in the time, like. It was the start that really won them, like, you know. But everyone had their own way, like, but there was tension there, like, and, you know, it where the people settled down, that was the most important thing, really, like.
Mm-hmm. Janjo, out of that kind of sane boat tradition, you kind of got hungry maybe, and you had 4 hours as well. Talk to me when the 4 hours started.
The 4 hours started in, it was about 1972.
Yeah.
We the following year then we built we got Mike Fleming was involved in the club as well, and he got a boat built inside in Killarney, and the boat wasn't up to scratch anyway, so I said I'd have a go, and I we built the Mimri, and that's the boat that got us going on the road. You know, we the ladies' crew then. There was two of my daughters, and you know, they were running it, and Josephine Twish and with Murphy Girl as well, you know what I mean, and they were winning as well, and we had under 16 boys and minors as well, and they are doing well, you know, when the club seemed to be doing well with the same boat, every it seemed to bring things along, you know what I mean, like.
Mm-hmm. There's a big appetite for it then, I mean, and people, yeah. Of course the 90s, I remember the 90s, I mean, there was huge crowds going to this, I mean, yeah. You know, you Callan the first day to arrive,
that's right.
Forgive me, but I think you were probably one of the first posh crowd with nice jerseys and tops,
we were
still rowing with vests below and maybe no vests at all, but
I remember being above in Dunstore, above in Cork one day, myself and the wife, and I see these nice yellow jerseys, and I said, you know, wouldn't they be nice now, do you know what I mean, one fellow with a white shirt and another shirt, and another fellow with more with no shirt, so I bought 13 of them, and that's, do you know what I mean, that's where we started off. We were the first one, I said, to put the jerseys on, you know, and they all followed on then.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course it led to good stuff, because you went on to win a lot of them there during the mid 90s.
We did. And the midnight, there was two of my sons rowing with me in that 18 in a row, which is a big achievement. Like, you know, Sean and Tim, there were two of them rowing with me. So I don't know about the record of 18, but I don't think that record will be broken at all. That a father and two sons, you know,
rowing
18 in a row, like, and we, you know, we were beaten by Mike Murt, you know what I mean, like, and. You know, we beat him again the following week, but you know, I think it was good for Rowan that we were beaten. There was good friends of mine that were up on the bridge, and then they jumped off the bridge, you know, that we were beaten.
They were celebrating the other victory.
They were.
John P, rowing, I suppose, obviously you're a huge football man. I mean, meet Kerry 92, all that, with you as well, and of course we won't mention the soccer that, you know, he drove, took a few rowers away there for a few soccer games and the whole lot. But what does it mean for a small community? And Caliversity is a very small community. I mean, forgive me, it is down the road and you turn left and it is nearly on there. What does it mean for a community to see the success in a sport and all that goes with it?
Well, just to talk about the 92 race here, we didn't stop that year until there was only two regattas left in the season over the water in Port McGee. And we got a new crew together because some of them had packed up and more of them went away. And we done very well in Over the Water, but we didn't win. And we went to Port McGee and we led from start to finish. That was the start of an unbelievable run, really. Like, and I remember well because the following week was the county football final below here in Ashton Stack Park. And I was training with Kerry. We were playing St. Brendan's. And thankfully we got over the line there as well. So I never forget that week. But coming back to the point about the rowing, I think myself the big thing was when the one design board was introduced. It gave people underage right up to whatever age you wanted to,
mm-hmm. More
to be involved in rowing, and that brought people from outside the district that wouldn't be into rowing at all before, like, you know what I mean, and there was big opposition. Yeah, we were the first boat club in Kerry to buy a one design boat, and there was a pile of opposition at the time, but thankfully everything has changed. Every club now in the county has a one design board.
I suppose, to put it in context, it was seen that you were breaking with the tradition, you were kind of moving on to another level and away at the
that
time.
That was it, yeah. Above in Cork in the 2001 All-Ireland, there was the Irish Coastal Rowing Federation had a blueprint of a boat. It was called the Celtic Yawl, better known as the one design.
Mm-hmm.
But all the associations around the country up to that point used to bring their own particular type of boat to the All-Ireland, but they wanted every associations have the same vote from then on, and at that point in time there was a vote, and the vote was carried. I think it was 72, but Kerry and Wicklow were the two crowds that voted against it. They didn't want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the AGM in Castlevean the following year, we said we were going ahead and buying the one design vote, and it didn't go down too well, I'll tell you the truth. But thankfully, it has all changed, and every club has a one design board now.
Mm-hmm. And you can compete in all Ireland. Yeah, and I suppose for listeners.
But before I finish, I said this man here, like, is kind of the first year on club, really. Down through the years, he built three new boats, like, for us, the Fishery, the Mimri, and the Mihel, and we had great success. As a matter of fact, we won our first All Ireland Coastal Rowing Championship medals inside in the Fishery, behind in Valencia in 1997, when the over 35 crew won, and the crew that day was the bow was John Murphy, in number two was George Jai. Dennis Murphy was number three, yours truly was Stroke, and Mike McKenna was the Cox. A day we'll never forget, it, really. And we won our first medals in the one design, bought in Cremorne. The following year after Antrim, and the crew, the brand, we took the brand and the R45s, and the crew that day was Brendan Twitch was in the bow, George Rye was in number two, John Joe was in number three, yours truly with the stroke, and David Hussey was Cox. And down through the years then, the club has won numerous medals at the One Design All-Irelands, gold, silver and bronze, from underage right up to masters. An unbelievable achievement, really.
Absolutely, for a small stretch of water. Well, look, what we're going to do is we're going to meet some of those committee members. Of course, obviously, you host your own regatta and you have everything that goes with it. We're going to talk to Valerie O'Sullivan and Sheila Hurley. They're warming up there as we speak in the room next door. And then we're going to catch up with more of those rowers and coxes. And we're going to end tonight, of course. Stay with us, Brendan Twist and Seamus Sullivan. They have a couple of stories to tell us about transporting boats and trying to cox and find their way down to South Kerry, going the wrong way around the ring, of course, and all that kind of stuff. But John Joe, you might stay with us, okay? Because we'll chat to you. We need you to clarify some of the stories that are coming through, seeing that JP has all his stuff written. JP, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dawn.
This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, Donal Barry, with you till 8 o'clock, and we're talking all things Kelnafirsty rowing. 50 years, imagine that, an awful long time, but we're going to fly through it. Now we're going to move up to the present time. I've been joined by Valerie O'Sullivan, Sheila Hurley, Mike Scannell and Padraig O'Sullivan, and John Joe is sitting over here in the corner. He said he'll just keep an eye on things for us. Valerie, first of all, I suppose, maybe put a little bit more background into the club. How many people are you catering for, all the different crews? You don't have to name them all personnel, don't worry at all, okay? As many, as close as you can. And talk to me about the All-Ireland that you were at.
Well, we'd have 114 members in the club, ranging from under 12 right up into adults. And then in the All-Irelands, we would have had 40 crews, which brought home 14 sets of medals.
Wow.
So it was a good achievement.
You had plenty of gold, silvers and bronzes. Yeah, speak to me about some of those goals. Maybe who were the crowd that brought home, or silvers or bronze? You sure some of the crews.
Sheila brought home the gold.
Fair play to you.
Unfortunately, she got bronze.
She got a bronze. That's fine. The club, I mean, what's the attraction of rowing and getting people in? I mean, obviously, when you say you have 114 members, I doubt there's 114 people living down that one row down in Kelnafirsty all rowing. So you're obviously bringing people in from outside and the whole lot. Speak to me about the attraction of getting people back into rowing.
Hi, Donal. Well, I started with the club, I suppose, over 12 years ago. I moved into Kelnafirsty and somebody asked me, would I be interested in joining a vets team? And I remember our first time being on the boat, we were petrified of the water. John Joe had to carry our hand and bring us onto the boat. We didn't even know how to hold the oar straight. And I think John Joe's first job was probably trying to quieten us on the boat. And I remember he saying, you're at mass now, I'm the priest, and you have to stay quiet. So from that day on, we never again spoke on the boat. And
does he give a good gospel?
Oh, a great gospel, yeah. Plenty of history as well as we're going along training. But I suppose with time and practice, we started improving over time. And through sheer hard work, we won our first gold medal in Carnlough in 2013.
Oh.
And that's a great feeling. It's something that you never forget, you know, standing up there in the podium and getting your...
You went a long way to win it.
We did. Now, we got various medals over the years, and I had the privilege of rowing in Masters as well with John Joe, where we won many medals over the years. And I've won county championship medals, so on and so forth, in the One Design, in the traditional boat. I've even been in the same boat, which was hilarious. And another memory I have is when we took part in the Ocean to City race, which was in Cork. And that is actually where you start down in Kinsale, I think, and you row up into the River Lee. Now, that's 3.5 hours, and for anybody that knows anything about rowing, 3.5 hours on the water is sheer hell. And we brought this picnic along thinking we were going to sit in the boat and stop and then look at the scenery and everything. John Joe had other ideas. We were barely allowed to stop to have a sip of water.
John Joe wanted to get home fast.
So after 3.5 hours, we got off the boat, minus skin on our bums and skin on our hands. We were absolutely riddled. And I remember going to mass the following day, and I think people must have thought I was very holy because I couldn't even sit down inside the church.
Above a lock jerk for the weekend, maybe. Sheila, I mean, it seems to be a very welcoming club. I mean, I called back the last night. I mean, at the drop of a hat, you had 10 people inside and then you had the studio taken over this evening. Explain to listeners the attraction socially of it, because I mean, like, there's only four in a crew. There's the Cox, which is five. You might have an extra sub the odd night, but really you're depending on those four people all the year to train and things. But I presume there's great camaraderie in that.
Oh, there is, yeah. You know, it suits everyone. I mean, particularly when we've got children that come down to the club, they may not be into, we'll say, contact sports like football or soccer. And that allows them to be part of a team, and it kind of gives them that sense of belonging and hopefully instill confidence in them as well. Because some children can be excluded from sports maybe based on their height or their weight, or they may not be fast enough, or their coordination mightn't be great, whatever. There is a position for everybody on the boat that'll suit everyone. Whether you're vertically challenged like myself, you'd be out at number one, or whether you're strong, you'll be in three and four, or whether you've got a good sense of rhythm.
Well, don't be giving the secrets away now. Don't be telling them who's strong at three and who's on four. No, don't be telling. There's people rowing who are rowing the bow now at the moment. So leave them alone. Two men that are very important in a boat, obviously. Well, two men here that are very important in the boat is the Cox. Patrick O'Sullivan, speak to us about coxing. I mean, obviously, the rowers have to get the job done, but, you know, you're not going along for a free spin either.
No, you're not. I suppose it's a job that comes with a lot of responsibility, but it's also probably a job that you grow into. You get to know the job and you listen as you're going up the age groups, you listen to your cox and you kind of learn from him, and eventually you kind of evolve and get better as you go on.
You get the abuse then when you come home and you come second, and Jesus, the cox only went into the right water at the right time or rounded the right way. Does that come with it too?
Jeez, no, we all share it, all five of us.
Oh my God, you must be a unique club. Mike Sennett, have you ever been given out to for not getting a team home in time?
More than once, that's for sure.
More than once, it's okay. But, you're an experienced coxman, so
in fairness now, if I with the younger people especially, I'd be inclined to take the blame myself rather than pass it on.
You shield it away from them.
And as Padraig said, there's a lot of responsibility with it, but there's an awful lot of satisfaction with it as well.
Yeah. And you get tied up in the race. I mean, obviously, like we'll say, whether you're fighting for fourth or fifth or first or second, or whether you just want to come home last, yeah, and a boat comes up beside you, and you know at times that, God, they're more momentum than us, or they just seem to be passing us. What goes on there, Mike?
You get totally involved in it, and you know, you get the people will dig deep to hold on to position, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to put it.
It's an amazing feeling. You don't really know till you're in a boat. When you're kind of falling away yourself, and a boat comes up either side of you or both sides of you, and next thing you see one getting past you, and you do kind of give your next best 20 strokes, yes, or whatever it is.
It doesn't matter whether you're fighting for first or fifth. It's the same.
Yeah.
Same thing, and
it's a big deal. Yeah. Coxing. Obviously, you're training the young people coming into the sport as well. I mean, and there's a responsibility on that. How would you enjoy that aspect of it, Patrick?
Yeah, I think you get great satisfaction out of seeing, like, if you took someone that you were had from 3 years ago and you watch them come up the grades as they start winning, get more experience, they keep coming back, they bring more friends, they just love it, and then you love it, and we all kind of thrive off the same buzz, really.
Yeah.
It's great.
You kind of share in it. Sheila, I suppose we've heard the kind of the stories of the coxes and what's it like to be involved. The club itself, what's it like just to be a club member? Sorry, Sheila, I've asked you all night, Sheila. We'll put you on. Valerie, sorry, my apologies. Valerie, what's it like to be a club member in Kelnafersey?
I think it's great. It's nice to be out in the water and rowing with other people as well, and it's good for your head too. So it's nice to be involved in something.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the other aspect of it. I mean, we see the regattas, we see the pressure you're under, but you're training four nights a week as well. And I mean, okay, I suppose these boys are putting you under pressure coming down the lawn as well, but there is nights that you can just go out and have a nice casual row as well, and you do clear the head, and I don't know what you're listening to on the Clarkin side.
The crack in the boat.
Yeah. Also, what we started this year, a few years back, I'd say we're the first club to start it. We do social rowing. The youngsters, maybe, they might be 12 or 13, and we when the season is over or during the season, we invite the mums and dads down. Even last week, there no, there was one night there last week, we put it up and the 9 mums came down, and you know, they came back again Sunday morning and I enjoyed it. Some people might go for a social run, and maybe some might develop to go out, you know, in competitions. It's up to themselves, but they really enjoy it, you know what I mean? Like,
Felby, talk to us about this man, John Joe.
Sorry?
Talked about this man. You wouldn't have a club without him, would you?
Oh, yeah. Fair play to John Joe. I suppose we'd just like to acknowledge his dedication, his support, the commitment that he's given to the club over the past 50 years. I'm sure he's seen a lot of changes, hopefully for the good. I know a lot of more women are involved in the club now, which is a good thing as well. Can I just mention as well, Mike and Porrick, as well, they do phenomenal work with coxing. It's not easy being out there 4 nights a week. I know we go out and we have a great role, but there's nights we could be out there and it's raining and it's miserable and everybody's wet, but they spend a lot of time in the water. And also our committee here, they do Trojan work behind the scenes, whether they're registering members, they're filling out paperwork, organising teams. There's guys standing on the water's end, pushing in and out boats every night, looking after our club finances. Just a great big thank you to them, because there's a lot of work that has to be done, you know, that you don't see.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that there's a growing ladies' wing, because after this break we'll be talking to all those. John Joe will stay with us. You can't wait to get out of here, can you? Absolutely. I'd say you take my seat in the morning, I'd say. No bother.
Okay. Ted Padraig also, he under 21 medals, and he will let him, not coxing, he does a lot, an awful lot of rowing. He rode UCC, do you know what I mean? Like, and his brother, and, you know, long as being a cox, he's a great rower, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Yeah, but sure, you've all great rowers back there. You can't pick one over the other. Brendan Twiss is coming in. I heard he was a great rower on his day too.
He was.
Well, maybe it's still his day. We don't know. Maybe it's not his day.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now we're celebrating 50 years of Kelnafirsty Rowing Club. Yeah, absolutely. There's a rowing club just off the lawn on the other side of Killorglin. I suppose you're kind of more Milltown people, are you?
We are Milltown. We play all the area, they all play football for Milltown Castlemaine.
There we go. There's no Clarkin people here for sure, is there?
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I'm joined by Mary and Chloe O'Sullivan, mother and daughter. Okay. We'll find out who's who in a second. We have Sarah Kennedy, of course, and we have Emma Houlihan, and they're joining us. And they're going to talk to us primarily, I suppose, from the ladies' perspective of rowing, because we spoke about the same boat, and the same boat generally, it's the men's, isn't it? It's that kind of stuff. John Joe, of course, went off and he got his one design, and by getting the one design, he opened the door, I suppose, in many ways for youngsters and men and women. And of course, women rowing for women is huge. But now we're going to talk about it being, I suppose, at a club level. First of all, I have to ask, how did somebody from Onablaha that doesn't even have a drain or a bit of a river, and you're nowhere near Killarney, end up in a boat rowing? And of course, I'm talking to Mary O'Sullivan. Mary,
I suppose, like, I'm married to John Joe's son, so it was part of the deal, really. I say.
Did you recruit well, John Joe?
I did.
It was a small print.
She wasn't long in when I was on that case. Yeah.
Okay, so you had no choice. You had to go rowing. What was it like the first time getting into a boat?
Loved it.
Did you?
Got by the boat straight away.
Yeah. Loved what was the attraction?
Oh, just the scenery, going out on the water, just the feeling you have after rowing, like, it's just, you can't beat it at all, like. Yeah.
And that's just the training, I suppose, really.
It's,
I mean,
training is tough, like, but the feeling you have after it, then, like, you're buzzing after it, like.
And then, of course, you go from your first night in the boat to training to your first regatta. Do you remember your first regatta?
Yeah.
Go on, where was it?
Down in Sneem.
Oh, it's a long way.
Yeah.
How'd you get on?
We did all right. We were all over the place, I'd say. Our oars were in, weren't in sync at all, but it was a great feeling, though. Yeah. I couldn't wait to do it
actually
again.
That's interesting. You're mentioning about out of sync, and I suppose there's people listening out tonight not knowing. For a boat to go, all 4 oars must go together.
Yeah. Like, at the start of the race, you're just concentrating on the cocks and your oars just going in at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I suppose when the time came, then you, poor old Chloe.
She got me. It's her fault. Like, she
recruited you.
Yeah.
What was your attraction, Chloe?
Well, Nana was on about it to me going back when I was 10. Then I heard about it, I just couldn't wait to turn.
Nana
ten.
Recruited you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm nice. There's nobody safe out there, is there?
No.
What was your first regatta?
Sneem as well.
Oh, as well.
Yeah,
the
same
were
one.
Were you in sync?
They were.
You, I think so. Yeah.
You were a small bit better. Yeah. Can you remember sitting there on the line? The cox goes out. He has to grab the boy. Everybody lines up beside him, and you wait for the shot or the hoot or all that. What goes through your head? It's really exciting time waiting for the shot. Are you nervous? What's it like those first couple of strokes, Chloe, when the shot goes?
Oh, just nerve-wracking. Really excited as well. Just hoping how you'd get on.
You're trying to get out as fast as you can, of course, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you row really fast at the start and then go into longer strokes? Or do you just row very fast all the way through?
just quick
and hard. Good stuff. Fair play. Two girls, of course, who've been rowing a long time, of course. Sarah Kennedy and Emma Houlihan. Emma says she's not from Killorglin, so we won't mention that. And Sarah Kennedy's back the road from Fyries. How did Sarah Kennedy from Fyries end up in a boat in Calnafirthy?
Just two of the girls from school were short, one for their crew, so they recruited me, yeah.
And what was your first night in the boat like?
I think we ended up in the bank, but... We made it out anyway.
The wind was blowing and we blew in up on the ground, but we got going after a while, then away we went.
You're
I came
the
a long way since then.
It is. And you came back a second night and a third night and a fourth night. What was your first regatta?
It was actually in Killorglin. It was a school's regatta.
Oh, so, very good.
Yeah.
And how'd you get on?
I think it took us about 30 strokes to turn the buoy, but other than that, I'd say it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, now in fairness, turning the buoy can be difficult. It's what, back the buoy and pull the stroke, is it?
Yeah.
Or do you do it different?
Back the stroke and pull the bow.
Good stuff. And what side of the boat are you on? Are you bow or stroke side?
Stroke side.
Okay. Are you stroke oar?
No, back at number two.
Oh, good stuff. And we know from somebody else that that's the easiest boat in the oar, is it? Yeah. That's what you said. Yeah. That's what they say, yeah. So you're leaving the club tomorrow anyway. Emma, yourself, your first journey, I mean, like, sure, you grew up in Killorglin, the River Lone is all around you. Would you have been aware of rowing and rowing clubs long before you arrived here?
No, actually one of our neighbours stopped my brother, he was cutting the lawn, and said that they were short to fill us. So would he join? And I went down with my brother, and I've been rowing ever since, and that was like 10 years ago.
Wow, so you got professionally recruited. What was the attraction for you?
The kind of the thrill, do you know when you go on regattas, like the thrill of like going down to the buoy and will you beat the next boat in or will you crash and what way will you come out, like it's the thrill, like the adrenaline.
You speak about crashes and of course people say, my God, there's a crash in the boat, but obviously I mean you're mildly tipping off the boat
next to the boat. When you're in the heat of it and you want to win, it's life or death really.
Yeah, and when you're looking across the course, you're looking across at possibly somebody in the boat, in the opposition's boat, who could be at times maybe 4 feet away from you, and there's a temptation maybe to grab the oar maybe or do something kind of naughty like that. Yeah. What's the tension like for those couple of seconds? I mean, it's kind of not tense enough that something's going bad to happen, but I mean, you don't want them to get away on you, because if they go around the buoy and they're 4 strokes ahead of you by the time you get around, I mean, that's going to be a lot of pressure on you to get back at them.
Yeah, you have to keep your cool. But at the same time, like, you know, like when the oars are like crashing off each other and stuff, you just have to keep going and hope that their oar breaks before yours.
Mm-hmm. John Joe, rounding the boat, I mean, many a race has been lost on that alone. I mean, you a lot of boats head into the buoy in good
no
position.
Regulations now, if we do hand in the oar, you know, it's different than the old times, you know, but you're also all the time, I'd say even this year, you know, the boats kind of run into each other, you know what I mean, you can't do much about it, you could get damaged into boats, like, but sometimes if we wait, and maybe the current to bring the boat off of the buoy and you could cut inside them, it's all tactics, you know, a lot of it, like, you know, it's up to the cox can do a lot for you at the buoy, he can either win the race or lose the race. Through, you could plough into the back of a lot of boats, whereas if we took it handy, maybe go around them or wait for them to be taken away from the buoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wait for them all to get mixed up and just go around wide.
Yeah. The
good stuff. Great to hear John Joe and John P and more of the crew on air for a rural club like Calnafirthy to have achieved what they have over the years is exceptional. John Joe and John P in particular have done their community great service and continue to nurture the next generation of rowers, and that's from Owen O'Shea. And I think I know who that Owen O'Shea is, because he probably is a Milltown man as well.
But his young lad is down, he came down there a couple of weeks ago, wrong, which isn't he's doing quite well, you know what I mean? Like,
So Owen O'Shea went to a successful rowing club.
He went to Calnafirthy. I won't go down that road at all, because there's a lot of successful rowing clubs, you know what I mean? Like.
Fair play to you, John Joe. Yeah. Are you going back rowing next year?
Yeah,
Are you going back, Roy, next year?
Yeah.
Have you been left back? Have you been left back?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, listen, the very best of luck to you. Great to have you on board this evening. It's great, to, I suppose, from that aspect to it. I can't wait to discuss more about those crashes that you have down there, Emma. because I always thought Calnafirsty were a clean rowing club. You just always waited for the crowd.
You were often in one of them yourself down a long time down.
Well, I was, yeah. Well, the only story I have about Calnafirsty is that never let him ahead you in it because you won't pass him. That's for sure. Particularly coming up the lawn at Puck Fair or something.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, Donal Barron here on Terrace Talk until 8 o'clock and really enjoying the show tonight. 50 years of rowing with Calnafirsty Rowing Club, a small club up there in Mid Kerry, and certainly for the last 50 years been doing great work. And of course, we're looking back at a bit of that. We've looked at the club, the members, the committee. JP was in with the history as well, which is amazing. But now we're going to talk to you about a special part of that club, and of course we're going back to the Seine Boat, because I suppose from a South Kerry perspective, the Seine Boat was that was like the All Ireland Championship. That was the only show in town, I suppose, for many years. Delighted to be joined by Brendan Twist, who was a member of that, and of course Seamus O'Sullivan as well, who cocks. I suppose he cocks all of them, did you? Mm-hmm. All 18 of them, Seamus.
Yeah.
Can you remember every one of them?
Oh yeah.
Can you remember the first one?
I can. Port McGee in 92.
Well, off you go. Did you win it well, or did you kind of limp over the line, or?
We won
about 5
lengths. About 4 or 5 lengths.
Okay.
Because Cremona and the Liberator were going for the Johnny Mahoney, and they both of them.
That's right, yeah.
And so I think Mike Mott would have won the Johnny Mahoney if he'd stayed in the position he was in.
Oh, no.
But he was trying to pass us, and Cremona passed him on the other side.
And Cremona pinched him in the leaderboard.
He lost to Johnny Mahoney that evening.
Your God, you upset everything, don't you? What was it like for Calnafirsty to win that one? I mean, we spoke about the first one that they won way back, but this was kind of more in the modern era where it was kind of, you know, the clubs were really serious.
It was very important for us to do well, because we had two very good minor crews before we got the same work going properly, you know, and we had to take a couple of fellas from the minor crew to make up the same work. So it was vital then for us to do well at that stage, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and once we won there, we trained. We did a good bit of training for the start of the next year, and we swept the ward that year.
Yeah.
You know?
About the training, I mean, we were hearing stories blown so Kerry, of course. You can confirm them tonight now. I mean, 30-odd years later, Lloyd. Were you training at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning or something mad like that, Seamus?
Well, we had to, because the river is tidal.
Okay. You know, you were forced
to go, like, when the tide was in, you know.
And would you have a full crew at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning?
Everyone.
Was Brendan Twist there all the time?
He was.
Never missed a night.
John Piette had been working for 8 o'clock, so
yeah.
That man wasn't going to be late for work, so we had to be there. There was no choice.
Time and tide won't wait for John P. Like.
No.
You weren't one of the miners that were recruited from the team. What was it like you joined the crew and rowing away?
I joined the late 80s, and then I was same about 92.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the stroke at that time, and we won Port McGee, and John Murphy was my inside me, and we spent 18 races together.
Wow. Side by side.
Side by side.
My God. And actually, I suppose people that don't understand, I mean, side by side is two people on an oar rowing together. I mean, what is it like, I mean, in the heat of battle? And it's a real battle, I mean, and it isn't a 5 minute battle or a 10 minute battle. I mean, how long were those races? 30 minutes?
The race could last 27 or 8 minutes, like.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 times. He just said to his wife, he had to stop the oar for me. If he didn't stop the oar, I'd get full pay.
That's right.
So, you know, we work well together.
Yeah. And I suppose, John Joe, that's the most important thing in a same boat crew, matching fellas up that will work well together. That's the secret, isn't it?
It is. And it's like the three-legged race. Like, if two fellas go in the three-legged race and they don't get on, you know what I mean? It's all about coordination together. Like, and over time, and you're in training, you get to know the person inside you and you get him to stop. I done a lot of I trained a lot of those scholars, and they moved on. But you know, Alan Kellen was the man inside me, and you know, you'd help each other. There's times, you know what I mean, that you'd want a hand from your scholar, and he'd give you that feeling. If only got two or three strokes and you were away again, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And people get you'd have a great bond between the two and the oar, you know what I mean? Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Cox plays a huge part, obviously, Seamus. I mean, was there any one of those races that you were really worried? You won 18. I mean, there surely somebody got within a couple of strokes of you.
Oh, yeah, there was. I suppose it was in 94. There was rumours going around, you know, that if we didn't slow down and wait for the bus by Quest, that we'd destroy Seymour Rest and all that. And I said some of that got to our crew, you know.
Yeah, John Joe and his yellow t-shirts, I suppose. that ruined you, wasn't it?
Cousin Valencia and Cassavine ran us, I'd say, within 5 feet.
Yeah, they got that close.
Yeah.
Mike Morton was within smell of you.
I could have touched the bows of his boat.
Oh my God, okay. But you didn't anyway, you got over the line. Obviously, talking about getting over the line, a huge part of is getting the boat to the venue. Brendan, apart from being the senior coxswain, or we'll say the senior strokeman, you were head of transport for a while?
I was, yeah. I was second to the club for years. Well, after I transported the boat, I broke the back windscreen of my car twice with it. They were getting on top. Just outside Glenbey, heading for Carstravine, bang.
Oh, my God.
Back windscreen of the car went.
Did you break too suddenly or something?
No, the bump on the road caught me. The big swing in there. So I had no choice, I keep going. The car was full, all my own family with me, so I had no choice, I keep going.
Well, the boat had to be at the regatta
regardless.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're in Benning, come on, we load the same boat down top with bang.
Oh no, on top of the car?
Top of the car, yeah. Broke the back windscreen again.
Dear God.
And then I was pulling the boat to Sneem, out the block. The car was boiling, so.
Up the hill?
Up the hill.
Dear God. But sure, geez, most people wouldn't go first gear in the car on the hill, and you bring the boat up.
Same boat out there, yeah.
With a car?
With a car, yeah. It was my own car at all.
All right. John Shaw, did anybody talk to him about getting the boat to places? Like, he didn't have to go all the way over the block to get to Sneem. He could have went to the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was the quickest way.
This man could be milking 50 or 60 cows and he might be coming at the last minute and he'd have no time to go back around Waterville or go around Killarney. So that was the way he went.
Yeah. It did come to an end, though, Seamus.
All good things do.
Yeah, Mike Murch got within 5 feet of you, but he got past you in Port McGeehan, of course. Yeah. I was talking to my good friend down there, Donald Sullivan, who you'll know very well, and of course Dennis Daly in the boat as well. That last battle was a battle in Port McGee, the one you lost your crown in.
Yeah. We had only 5 horses, I suppose, half the race was after the first rounding.
He hit over in the first rounding and partly put it out of production. And we passed him out again, then coming down to the bridge. And when we turned the boy, then the last boy above the bridge in Port McGee, he came in and he demolished it altogether. So even with the 5 horse, he only barely beat us down. And you know.
So it was only a fair shoulder, I heard, all, they gave you.
He was nearly up my lap,
I was. We didn't begrudge him. It was his first win in Port McGee. He used to always talk to me. I know him very well, you know. And he said, I never won a race in Port McGee.
Yeah.
So, well, he won with Coxon, but you know, yeah, we beat him the following week. Then there was a race in the loan, so we got all one back. And then 3 or 4 of us retired, and the older fellas out of the boat. And you know, they won a few races after that, but you know, like it was, we achieved an awful lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Speak to us about Mike Murch for a couple of seconds, because I mean, he's another legend down there in the Liberator.
John,
I mean,
and John Kapp, of course. Yeah. Yeah, Mike Murch was the man that time, you know what I mean? But Mike Murch, if he got any chance to do it all, like he wouldn't steer out the boy, you know what I mean? But he was dog eat dog, you know, and we do probably, Seamus would probably do the same, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, he was, and Monty Neal, and Monty was another cox, and Monty rode with us. And Mike Scanlon's there, he's dead, you know, in between, he rode with us as well, you know what I mean? Like.
And of course, Sneem and Valencia and all these, they were all crews on that time too.
Jack Casey, you know, Cox against us in Old Orange, getting with the pleasure of beating him, but that was, I suppose, we beat him all the ways. When we came to the boy above the boat house, you know, the last night there, he didn't turn the boy, so he was disqualified, but we won it anyway, you know what I mean? Like.
You won it in the committee room, huh?
We won it, yeah.
In the back of a car.
It was always great to win Port McGee because it was the last race to see.
Yeah.
So like winning the county championship, you were champions for the winter.
And it was a special race to win. I mean, it was like you said, you could have had an awful season, but
correct,
by God, you gave an extra 20% for Port McGee.
I got to June again to take one.
Absolutely, yeah. You were defending champions. Seamus, do you miss it?
I do. The biggest drawback was that in those 18 wins, for the first 3 days of the next week, no one knew what I was talking about because my voice was completely gone. And no one could understand me until Wednesday.
You didn't have a roar.
That was a good thing, I didn't know.
I know. He coxed us there, and the 5-man boat as well, and the 2-man, the 7-man. You know, he was a great cox, I thought, you know what I mean? He'd drive, like, you know, he'd get everything out of it, which was an awful, made all the difference, you know what I mean? I found him mighty altogether, you know what I mean?
Brendan, it strikes me that Kelniversary people are fierce proud. I mean, obviously you're fierce proud Milltown people, but what's it like to be able to kind of gather the troops all from one road or kind of down that small part? I mean, it's a small community. I mean, do you row a little bit harder because it's your neighbour that you're with?
Correct, yeah, but we're a small area, like we're kind of Milltown Park, we're bound in Loughlin, so we're kind of on our own, like.
Mm-hmm. You're in the Gaza Strip, kind
of. Gaza Strip, yeah. So come to anything else, we're going to organise. We have our regatta in every year, like around, we start in June, Carstavine, we finish in Port McGee, so our regatta be July always.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to organise our own regatta, like.
Yeah, John Joe, I suppose we're wrapping up. I mean, it's amazing where it is an hour ago. We could have had 3 or 4 hours, but a lot of good people kind of disappeared in the meantime in that 50 years. You want to remember some of those?
Yeah, we Jim Clifford there, you know, he was our stroke war behind in 72. He was only 33 years and he passed away. And recently there, the photograph there, and the man that was, he was called Roger Cairns, he died there a couple of months ago. So there are two that's gone out of that crew, and you have Jerry Clifford as well. Do you know what I mean? Like he done a bit of wrong with Cal. I don't know if we ever heard of the name. He passed away as well. Do you know what I mean? And we also had a big tragedy this year with Tien, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Tien, he passed away, like it shocked the place, you know what I mean? Because I know Brendan for years, and he was a pure gentleman. No matter what happened on the day, whatever happened, he was always there to talk to the next day and discuss things, you know what I mean? He really was a big loss, like.
Mm-hmm. And Brendan?
I remember one year there, we're organised an regatta, actually. We need a boat to look after, follow the same boat. Mm-hmm. So we had no boat. So I went back to Brendan's house and he said, no problem, he'd be down. He arrived the day and everything was there.
Yeah. He was that type of man, wasn't he?
That kind of man, yeah.
And it is sad because, I mean, we started the show tonight talking about Jack de Bromhead and I suppose the effect that the pony racing community have. But when you lose a member of your own community in your own sport, I mean, it's felt all over. I mean, it's felt in South Kerry and with yourselves.
I remember there, and she was a great member in the committee, Ciara Arms, and she passed away suddenly. So, you know what I mean? Like, so she was another one in our committee. And also, you know, I'd like to thank all the sponsors down through the years and all the committees. I've been there now for 50 years and you know, every 3 or 4 years you have a secretary or a treasurer and they all put so much time into it and they're all better than the next, but I'm not going to name any names.
You would have a lot of time.
I'd be in big trouble anyway, but you know, they were even the committee that we have here at the moment, they're all working well for the sake of the club. The club is growing and growing all the time, do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. Well, look, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you in this evening. Time has beaten us, obviously. Some crowd have taken the shot there, Seamus, so it doesn't really matter whether you're fourth or fifth now at this stage. The big prize is gone. But look, I have to say, I mean, this hour was probably the most enjoyable I've had in Terrace Talk. I know the community back in Kelniversary. I mean, to say that you're a small rowing community is an understatement. What you've achieved is absolutely amazing. You've a fabulous boathouse back there as well. Great boats, great history. Great to remember all those people too that aren't with us this evening. And it's great, I suppose, John, just look in there and see the future inside there. Now, obviously, you won't be recruiting any more Kilcone people. That's full, is it?
No matter where they come from, they're welcome.
There you go. We'll end with that tonight.
We have Polish and we have different nationalities.
There you go. All head down to Kelniversary and you'll win an All-Ireland for yourselves. Lads, thanks very much. Really enjoyed the show and we'll do it all again next week. I want to thank Ivan and Keane on sound.